Welcome to Soul-Led Living. I'm your host, Nikki Novo. I created this podcast so that you can hear, trust, and follow your intuition. Every week, I drop two episodes packed with intuitive messages that your divine team is dying for you to hear. So get your heart ready to receive exactly whatever it is that you are meant to receive. Let's do this. The world has been a little bit crazy lately, so I thought it was a good time to do a bit of a state of the world energy read. We haven't done one in a while. I think we did one either last 4th of July or when the elections in the US were coming up. So it's been a while, and I can feel the anxiety, the nerves, the quiet tension that's been coming up. So I'm like, let's do an episode. I was inspired by this idea of World War III. I know that many astrologers have kind of been predicting that energy. I forget the exact like reasoning, but it's almost like there's something happening now that was like happening during the last wars, or like this energy represents like that kind of war. So I was really inspired by that energy and wondering like where that was coming from, like what that really meant. And obviously, just as I'm recording, there is things going on in the Middle East with the US, and there's just a lot going on. So I thought, all right, it's time. But I want to say that this episode definitely needs a disclaimer. I, Nicole Mercedes Novo Essig, know nothing. Like I am not well-versed in geopolitics. I am not reading about this stuff. I am not watching the news. Like, I do not know this information, so I cannot debate with you. This is not my space. But what the gift allows me to do is to read the energy of anything. I can sense and I can feel everything. So, for example, like I will have clients that will come in and be like, I run this venture, you know, capital firm, and we're investing in this, and like we're in this industry, and I know nothing about that. I'll probably never see that amount of money in my lifetime, and I know nothing about those industries, but I can still sit there with the client and see and forecast and understand what's happening, which means that I may not always have the words that if you are more well-versed, you may have, and I may not have them. So if you're going to listen to this episode and try to figure me out, like I said, like figure out Nicole Novo Essig, like if you try to figure her out, I think you're going to be disappointed. That is like not what this episode is about. This is truly letting the gift that I have act as a seer. It's not, you know, and honestly, there's a part of me that didn't really want to have this conversation, but I know that so many depend on my gift to see. And this is really just to forecast the weather, because we need to know what the weather is like in order to get ourselves dressed every day. If we're parents, we need to know what the weather is like in order to prepare our children. And I think that that is how it feels right now. We're like, okay, yeah, we're resilient. We can handle a lot of things. We would just love a little bit of prediction. Like, is there a hurricane coming? When is that hurricane coming? What strength is that hurricane? How many days? How do I need to prepare? And those are the conversations that I want to have. And like, that's what this is truly about. And I'm really hoping that it brings you some ease and some comfort and just allows you to see where you are, where you stand, and how you can care for yourself and care for the people that you love. So don't come after me in the comments, guys, because I'm not here for it. I won't respond. So just so you know. Yeah. And like, you have to understand that the way that I see things and the way that I see the world is probably different than a lot of people, you know, especially when I'm using the gift, because I have to see things from another perspective. I have to empty myself. My prayer before I get on the podcast is like, may my biases get out of the way. Like, may I get out of the way, and may the messages come through me. So much so that I forget a lot of times like what I say. So if you didn't know, now you know. And that's our disclaimer. And I want to have that disclaimer because I want to have these conversations with you. And if like we cannot listen to the messages that way, then like we can't have these conversations. But I trust that we can. So let's do this. I actually, these are messages, definitely things I wanted to talk about. And we have seven of them. All right. Message number one, let's talk about that concept of World War III energy. It is the energy of World War III. Is it ever going to be labeled World War III? No. I highly feel like this time will never be labeled that. And that's for like branding reasons. You know, it's like almost like the powers that be have learned that like it's not a good look to like name anything like that. But are you crazy for feeling that energy? No, it is definitely the vibe. Like that is the vibe. You're just probably not going to get that label. You're not going to get that name. And truly, like that vibe started somewhere during the Russia-Ukraine war. Like I don't think it started at the beginning of that war because it was supposed to be almost like a little local disagreement. And then it became like everybody else's business. And it's like when it became everybody else's business is when it started to, it's almost like when the US got involved, basically, is like when we started to feel that vibe of World War III. So this idea of like, when's it gonna happen? Like when's World War III start? I think you can let go of that anxiety because it's not really gonna start because it's an energy. And it's a feeling, and it's okay for you to like tell yourself like I'm not crazy, like I kind of feel like that's what's happening, even though it hasn't been labeled. Does that make sense? So you don't need to wait for that label. And I think that it's like hurtful to kind of wait for the label. It's okay to understand like yes, you're feeling that energy. So what is that energy? It's funny, like I don't, you know, again, I don't know the history of World War One and Two, but it's almost like this energy is the manifestation of longtime grievances. It's like a family that like has been pushing things under the rug for a long time. And I don't mean like an immediate family. It feels like a family, like there is, you know, there's like three adult children with their families and parents, you know, it's like that extended family model. And they've been trying to, you know, get along and meet up for Christmas and Thanksgiving and for the holidays and Passover and those kind of things. But there has been a lot being pushed under the rug just in order to like keep the peace. And now, like since we're talking about shit, you know, it's like when like somebody brings something up at the table that's like so out there and you're like, well, you know, if we're talking about our own bullshit, like let me talk about this. That's kind of what we see happening with countries and with leaders. Like it's an airing of grievances, if that makes sense. It's been going on for a long time, but somebody decided to like poke the beast and open that Pandora box. And I can't really like point fingers at who it was, but it's just like it was gonna happen. It was gonna kind of push and it was gonna explode, and like that's where we are. So what we're seeing is a lot of grievances, a lot of conversations. It's kind of like a debt that we have had to pay. Just nobody, like everybody kept pushing that debt off. And funny enough, and we saw that debt even before Trump was in office. And sorry, guys, I'm American. I'm going to kind of talk about it from the American point of view because that's the only point of view I have. So hi to all of our global listeners. Sorry to come from this angle, but this is how I can see it. So it looks like, again, like this was happening before Trump. But the funny thing about Trump is that when he came into office second time, Trump has an identity of the ultimate deal maker, right? Like that's what he sees his gift being. So I want you to imagine that like you have had an expertise in something, right? Like maybe you're like, you know, I'm an operations guru. So guess what? When you get hired for something or when like the community or when, you know, your kid's school like ask you to volunteer, you're going to be like, okay, I'm going to go into the school and I'm going to look at the operations because like that is what I have to offer. Like this is what I am good at. And that's natural for anybody. Everybody who's like kind of reached some sort of expertise, like when they are asked to help or fix or be involved in something, you're going to lead. You're not going to be like, you know what? I've never done finances. I'm actually like the writing person always, but I think I'm going to run the finances at the school. It's like, no, you're going to be like, oh, give me the newsletter. Like I'll write the newsletter. Like that's what you're going to offer. So that is how Trump has come into this position. I mean, we've seen it, right? Like it cracks me up how he's like redecorating the White House. Like I'm like, this is the funniest shit I've ever seen. Like this is what this guy is spending money on. And like, it's so gaudy, but you know, in his mind, he's like, I know luxury. I have built hotels. I have built luxury hotels. So that is what that's going to be one of the first things you see me do because like my identity is wrapped up in that, right? So we're seeing the same thing here. He was like, all right, cool. I'm going to open these grievances. I'm going to open these Pandora boxes and like, I'm not going to be afraid of it because I'm going to make deals. For better or for worse, guys, but that is where his identity is. And the truth is, it's that it's not untrue that he is a, I don't know if we want to call it good, but like he is a deal maker. Like that is not untrue. But where he is over his head is that he has always made deals with people that want to be American. So he has made deals with foreigners before, like in business and things like that, but they want a piece of that American dream or like that American like luxury. So that is what he knows. And that's why he has seen himself as successful. It's kind of like, you know, when you're in business, you can deal with the same client. So like I have a certain type of client. If I have to do my, you know, gift, I don't know, at a Christian church, I'm going to be over my, like way over my head because my, you know, my ego is like, no, I'm great at this. I'm fantastic at this. And it's like, yeah, because you've been doing it for customers who are on the same vibe as you, who like what you do, who are like, you know, that you guys have a common thread. But all of a sudden, if you put me somewhere like that, they don't really want me. I'm not going to be as good as I am with the people that I'm good at. So that is where he is over his head. He's moving into deals with people who hate Americans. And I want to say hate Americans. It's probably like the word to say it, but they hate American culture. They're tired of being abused by the American conquistadors. Like, it's like we are the conquistadors, you know? And like, listen, some of it is because other people from other places like want it, but also because we think our culture is the best. So we've been like spreading it. So that is that it's great to make deals with people who want that, but he's currently trying to make deals with people like who do not want that. They want their own identity. They have their own cultures. They have their own way of seeing things. So in this case, there's just not as much influence. And that's why we see a little bit of like tripping on your own feet. And it makes us all a little bit concerned and worried because a person who had confidence in making a deal like can't do it. So like now what? So if this guy and his ego can't make the deal, what happens? It takes time. That is truly the answer. And I think that that is what, you know, everybody is anxious for like this time to be over, but we are nowhere near this time being over. I actually have a prediction that we're going to be here for about 7 years. And that doesn't mean we are, you know, at war, we're bombing people or, you know, things like that. But we are in that place where families need time to regroup and rearrange and air some things out and clean things out. Have you ever tried to heal your family of origin? Or is it just me? But like, you know, for example, like I moved from Miami to outside of my family, my, you know, my culture, my friends. And that was, I guess, almost five years ago. It'll be 5 years in August. And that started a deep process of healing for me. You know, I was going to therapy. I had to do my own healing. They were obviously doing their own healing. There was a lot of discomfort in between and arguments and people weren't talking to each other. And there was a lot going on. And it's still, where you definitely, I can see the light at the end of the tunnel, like things are clearing out, but it hasn't been easy, right? And it, and you just can't make that go faster than the time it actually needs. So that is what we're doing here. We're obviously dealing with an American leader who like wants it done during his time in presidency so he can take some credit for it. But, and so there, you know, he's definitely putting pressure on himself to make it go faster. And every, you know, nobody likes to be in these places for long, but it's truly like that. It's just not going to work that way. It does require a lot of conversations. It does require a lot of respect for other people's cultures. And that is like the thing that we are learning right now. So I asked like, how is this solved? You know, and I really saw that it is truly a game of, I guess maybe chess, but I'm also thinking like game of Battleship. It's kind of like taking the globe and looking at all these different players and basically securing players and getting players on your team. And that's really what we see. So what we're going to see is that like some of the scary energy that is a little bit, impulsive or a little like dangerous. And I think that that's like kind of how maybe some people are seeing like this conflict right now, that like it could be, it is a dangerous conflict. That's why some people were like, don't poke the beast, you know, like just like don't go there. But what we're going to see, and there are other dangers, right, in the world that people are afraid of, like different cultures are afraid of. And what we're going to see is like, it's a game of like isolation. It's going to be like doing the best to isolate those places of quote unquote danger. Like the it's like kind of like this kid's a little out there and can cause some problems. So like, let's isolate them from the rest of the group. So that's also why it feels so unsettling, because, and that's what the World War III energy is, because it's all these countries kind of deciding, I don't even want to say what side they're going to be on, because it's one thing we're going to learn this time around is like people do not want to take sides anymore. Where in the past it was like, you're this and you're that. We're losing like that need to like be one-sided. But there is going to be like an agreement of peace, truly. Like I feel that we are going to see like, there's going to be start to be like a name. Then that's going to kind of tell you that their world's a World War III. Like, because the name, it's like peace something something, like is going to show us that there was actually something going on and we're not crazy, just like nobody really fully labeled it. And war looks different than it used to, you know? So you're going to see that come forward. But it is a game of like isolation, getting team people. Like that's why you see like, I'm going to buy this and I'm going to grab that and, you know, this and that. I want to talk about Europe, because Europe is like very interesting in this game. Europe is the closest relative to the United States. It's like at the end of the day, like the United States is, you know, like our roots are European, right? So Europe is our family. Like is Europe and Americans are family, but it's like the Americans are like that brother in the family that like hit it big and became super rich and like forgot where they came from and is super obnoxious. It's like saying like you got a cousin from Texas who like likes everything big, but you're like, you know, but he's actually like really from a small town in like northern New York or something. And that's how like Europeans are feeling about the US right now. And they are being a little pouty for sure, like, you know, in the American point of view. But they, because they have a hard time expressing with their words, which is funny. It's like, this is, you know, like kind of if they were people, this is like how we would see it. Because they're just like not as out there as Americans are, right? So, but the Europeans have a lot of power and they have not stated their, they haven't truly stated what their plan is, like how they're moving forward, what their vision is. And, you know, Europe is hard because it's so many different countries, but they are like one body at the end of the day. But they're very interesting and like the US knows this. And like the US is just like, come on, guys, like, let's come to, and they're like, no, you know what? We're pissed off because you did this and we hate that you did this and you're always colonizing and you want us to do that and you've been pushing us around forever and like, this is ridiculous and you have ego and like, so there's all these things. So Europe is a really, so any of my European listeners, like, I wonder if that resonates with you, because it's like, they're in a really interesting position because it's like, they are family. So they do need family. Like they can't like truly break off from the family because it is more dangerous for them to go anywhere else with like something that is not truly their family, but they have, you know, some like terms, you know, like they want to be heard. They want to like, you know, figure things out. So we're going to start though. I feel like those negotiations are happening already. Like they're just not as important because there's not going to be, like war, you know, like between, but there are these like conversations. And then, you know, what's funny is that like Canada will do whatever Europe does, basically. It's like whatever Europe kind of like agrees to, like that's what we're going to see happen. So it's just like kind of saying like we need better roles, like we need a better cohesive like family, and that's what we're seeing going on. So that's why you feel that way, guys. What's up with Israel? Israel always, like, I always find it so interesting because I'm like this little itty bitty like country, like what's going on? And the thing is, like, it's actually not as, it's not as much as a conspiracy as one would think. It's really just that it's their location. Like where they are they do a lot of work for the U.S. They are a true ally to the U.S. I think about, I have people that work with me closely in my business, but aren't employees, let's say, right? Like some of the women that teach some of my programs, like these are like my partners, my allies, but they have their own business. I have my own business. But if they like need something in their business, if they're promoting something, like I'm going to help promote it for them because we are in relationship and we're in a very close relationship, right? So that's what we see going on here. Whether you like it or not, if Israel wants something or sees something, the US is like, yeah, this is my ally. So we got to kind of figure it out. And vice versa. I think the only difference is that like what Israel does in that region of the world is not seen so much, but what they do for the US like is happening all the time. Like there's a, and I think that's where the conspiracies and like the kind of like the darkness comes from, because like we don't see the workings, but there are workings like going on there. And for better or for worse, the US like needs allies in different parts of the globe to like accomplish what it wants to accomplish, whether you agree with what it wants to accomplish, but like that's why that's there. So that is like, yeah, that, I mean, without going too deep into it, like that's what's happening there. And that's why you're going to just see these people like be buddy buddy and like just kind of, you know, be involved with each other. I could talk about this forever, and I'm sure you guys have a ton of questions, and I'm open to other series or questions about this. I don't ever want this to turn into gossip or anything. I'm just trying to give you like a lay of the land. What is most important to me is like, what do we do from here? And those are like the bigger questions that I have. Like, what do we do during this time? And like I said, if it's truly a 7-year process, which is what it really looks like for me, and I don't, that doesn't mean we're at war with Iran for 7 years. That doesn't, like, it just means that we are airing out these grievances and trying to find a way back home to peace and to each other on this beautiful earth that we live on. And it's going to be one of the greatest like peace treaties we will see in like our time. It's, I mean, I have goosebumps, but it gets ugly before it gets nice, you know? And it is about 7 years. Okay, so what happens during those 7 years? What do we, the little humans, on our day-to-day? Does that mean we bunker down? Do we, you know, order food for that will, you know, supply for 3 years? Are we losing our Wi-Fi? Like all these like crazy things that we hear about. What is really gonna happen? And like that is my biggest concern, because the only reason to even have these conversations, guys, honestly, is to see where you're going to move from here and how you're going to lead your family, how you are going to lead your life. And that's truly what matters. So what do we do now? And what do we do from here? What does this time look like? And honestly, guys, I thought about that book, Love in the Time of Cholera, right? Like life goes on. There's love and there's breakups and there is businesses being built and kids being born, and it, life definitely goes on. And actually, it's a very meaningful time in our evolution as a species, you know, and as a world. I mean, it's like very, very meaningful time. We will be stripped of our thirst for excess and for power. So that might feel a little bit differently, you know, where like what you were working towards or what you thought you wanted really starts to disintegrate, and that can cause a lot of confusion, because like maybe you've been working your whole life towards something, or like maybe you were trying to manifest something, or you had this goal and then like that starts to go away. It will happen to us in all different times, but it's going to start happening as soon as now or next year. So just kind of looking out for that. But some predictions for this time that I thought were interesting. We're definitely going to create more. So creation and artistic expression is the rebellion. Like it is what we do when things are changing and when the world feels out of control, you know, like when we feel like we have no say and we have no control, the rebellion is to express and to create. So we're going to see a lot of creation. It's so funny. The other day I was like, I feel like I want to buy stock in cameras or like Sony or Canon or something. I don't know, like it just kind of came out of nowhere. And then I was writing down messages today, and we're definitely going to see a resurgence in cameras. Like everybody is going to have a camera. And I'm guessing, you know, obviously with the phone, people bought cameras less, but now we're just going to see this like total resurgence. We're going to see people taking photos, scrapbooking, making albums, definitely like videos too, like family video night. It's just, it's different. And it's not, obviously this is not nothing new. YouTube and everything is video now, but I would say this is much more like me documenting my life through photography the same way my dad did. Actually, the other day I was at my dad's house and he had every video from when we were kids. Like he just, you know, filmed us from, you know, being born all the way till who knows when. I'm pretty sure there was like a wedding video there of mine. And I was like, oh my God, Dad, like, what are you doing with this? And he's like, I don't know what to do. I'm like, well, give them to me. I'm going to digitize them. And so I have them right now. I have to digitize them. If anybody has like tips on how to, there has to be a company out there, right? That like digitizes these like VHS tapes, basically. That's what I need to figure out. But anyways, I see us bringing that back. Scrapbooks, all of this is like a big thing. Like, I think that's also why some of us feel like blogs coming back, because blogs is what? It's like a scrapbook. It's like you're writing, you show a photo, writing, show a photo. So there's a lot of that coming back. We're going to gather more, which we've already been seeing. It's such a great time to be in the world of like music, concerts, festivals, just any sort of live presentations, live festivals, live entertainment, basically, is just, we're going to do a lot of that. Like we're going to have some of the best festivals we've ever seen. We're going to see a lot of musicians rise during this time. So it's like a great time to be a musician. It's a great time to be in that space. I know it hasn't like felt like that always. As long as you're willing to tour in person and do things in person, it's a great time. What's a beautiful part of this process and like kind of what happens after this is that we are taking back, and I think this is specifically American. I don't know about the other countries, but Americans are taking back the modern family. There's like something that has happened to the modern family over the last decades that this generation, specifically millennials, they're like, we are like, it's like they're I have goosebumps. They're like grabbing their children back to themselves. It feels like, again, it feels very much like an American thing. I don't know what's happening in the other spots, but this is beautiful. Like this is something that we've needed. And I think, and again, like going back to when I was saying, I was like, you know, Europeans are kind of like mad at this like rich sibling that like is just being awful and has like gone too far. I think because the world is being stripped of a lot of excess and there's like this ego that is like being stripped over the next 7 years, like it's just the only way we get to like where we're trying to go. Because of that, we bring the things that are important closer. And maybe you're already feeling that in your life. You know, maybe you're like, oh my God, I've been chasing this goal forever. And like what's important are like the people that I love and the people around me, or like this home that I live in or this garden that I have. So there's this kind of like bringing things closer to me that matter, that I love. And because of that, we do see like a big shift in what we call family, which I guess has been very broken, especially for Americans. So that's something that like we need. You know, you need a strong family structure to make like strong kids that then make strong citizens and community members. And that's like a very important part of like the future of us as a civilization. So we're going to see that come forward. So if you're thinking about parenting different or schooling different or taking care of your kids different, or you're going to heavy therapy because where you came from was messed up, you know, as all of us, and you're really trying to rework those things, like you are part of that movement. The work is already working on you. People will pray. So we've already seen this. There's like a going back to church. There's a just going back to the roots of like what I believe in. That hasn't come for me. You know, I was raised Catholic and I've tried to like reengage with the Catholic Church and like it kind of keeps spitting me out. I have tried going to several churches here since I moved here and like every single one has spit me out. So I guess like that's not the case for me, but I pray every day and I'm very connected to spirit. So I don't think it's like we're going back to pray in a dogmatic way. It's more just like we're becoming more spiritual. Like we're going back, and some people just like the best way we know to do that is through like these religious institutions, which some of them are great, you know? And that's, you know, we're just going to see that. We're just going to see people like coming together, praying together. Whether it's religious or not, like it just feels like it's a gathering over that light, like bringing that light together, like being around people that are calling in the light. Because a lot of the souls that are here, and those of you who are listening, you're going to have many different purposes this lifetime. But like one of them is you've come to seed this new earth. Like you are the light that is seeding the new earth. So during this time, we're going to see like other light beings gather together to bring in that light. And that can even be done through music in a concert. So that's probably why we're seeing a lot of it in this like live entertainment. But also we're going to see a ton of it that looks religious or spiritual or around, it's like prayer in general, like surrounded around prayer. I think prayer is going to get a rebrand. It'll probably mean something a little different than like maybe somebody like me growing up, like what I thought it was. So praying is it. There's a thought leader out there who's going to explain to us what praying is. That's happening. Okay. And listen, money is still made. I know that during these crazy times, we are afraid of our own survival, right? Like, is there going to be food? Is there going to be electricity? Is there going to be money? And money is still going to be made because you know why? I want you to remember that like what's happening in the world is kind of like the parents are arguing. Like these parents are so in their BS and they're still arguing about this stuff and whatever. Yes, we're here at the mercy of the parents, but we are going to still continue, right? Like the kids are still going to continue and do things. And there is so much innovation that happens during the next 20 years. It's like you can't stop it. Like no war is going to stop it. If anything, the conflict will birth even more. Like it's actually like the conflict is birthing even more innovation. And because of, you know, innovation opens new markets and brings in new prosperity. So it's like you just, of course, there is money made during this time. There's money made from innovation and nostalgia. It's like one or two. It's like, it's kind of like from going back or by going forward. It's like either like the craftsman or like what is next? Like that's what's coming. So there's going to be money in buildings. There's going to be a lot of new ways to build structures. And it's not because there's going to be new buildings, but it makes me feel like there's old structures that need to be rebuilt. There's like a lot of rebuilding. I think it's also in other countries. Like I was thinking about what came to mind was Cuba, which is like where my family's from. If there's like, I mean, Cuba's in such a bad state and it needs some sort of change. And if there is any change there, like the amount of building that needs to happen there. So I was like, oh, there's like building, like things are being rebuilt, but they're also being rebuilt with technology, like in a modern way, which is so good. It's like better for the environment. Like it's really cool what's coming building wise. I don't even think we have it here yet, but it's happening. I actually saw this guy the other day on YouTube that like, the guy's like 22 and he wants to build a hotel on the moon. And he was like talking about like the material that would have to be used to be built to build on the moon. I'm like, what? So it's like stuff like that, guys, like things that we don't know yet. Money's going to be made in publishing. I have said this a little bit, but there is something coming for publishing. It's, you know, I think when I think about publishing, I think about pamphlets. I think about my eyes and words. Like I think about like seeing something and reading something, books, that kind of stuff. And I've said this before, like in one of our business episodes, we talked about like how the publishing is going to change. And this is not necessarily like nostalgia. This is just like the human will always need to share information and will always need like stories to like ground themselves and to hold their focus. Like this is just, this is like what we will always do. So like this is will kind of like never really go away, but it does look like there was a type of storytelling that like really was popular recently, which was like audio and also film and videos and all that kind of stuff. But now somehow words like become the new darling. Like they come forward in a way that like catches people's attention. I don't know how, and I'm not really sure why, but we're going to see that for sure. Medical devices, there's a ton of newness in the medical field. There's not going to, anybody who is a doctor that might be like, or in the medical field that might think like they're going to lose their job. On the contrary, I feel like there's just not going to be enough people to like do the amount of things that are coming for the medical field. Like a lot of it is about, I have goosebumps. A lot of it is about like even like the human potential, like what is next. It's not really like sick care necessarily. A lot of it is like, how can we, yeah, prevent and even optimize. I'm always afraid of the optimized stuff because I'm always like, I don't want to live forever, guys. You know, it's like those bros that are like, I'm trying to live to 150. And I'm like, not interested, you know? So I don't know if the optimize is a good or bad thing, but like that's definitely, it's coming and there's a lot of money there. There's just so much innovation. So yeah, so don't be afraid. Your children, right? If anybody has like teen kids and you're thinking like they're really coming up on this new world and it looks pretty scary. Like, or even like, you know, if there is war, like, you know, we obviously think about our young men and women, you know, because like at this point, I guess it's like both are allowed to go or will be expected. But I don't see a draft. I see more like a super handsome package that makes you want to be part of the armed forces, if that makes sense. There is a total rebrand coming. You're going to see, like, I guess you can call it propaganda, but it's like the lifestyle of like working for your government or something. And basically a lot of the things that we want as a society to be taken care of better, you know, it's like, oh, it'd be nice to have like childcare. It would be nice to be have like this and that. The people that are involved in like armed services like will get that, and that's like part of this very attractive package that is going to be presented to some of our youth. So we may be like afraid of our youth because of like, you know, you're always afraid when the world looks like this, like you know it's scary about like what's going to happen to the youth, but you're going to actually see them like choose some of this because of how attractive the packaging of this armed forces security movement that we will see. Like, security is big business and it's like still here, and you're gonna see it. I mean, for some people it might be a great thing, you know what I mean? But I would say, like, don't be afraid of your kids like getting drafted. Be afraid of the package that's going to be presented to them, because that's like really that this. It reminds me of like when in Miami when there was like a lot of buildings going up and they would like sell you the dream. They'd be like, oh, look at this new condo that's going to like come up here. It's going to be beautiful and it's going to have this and it's going to have that. And you're like, oh my God, here's my deposit. Like, where do I sign my name? There's a bit of that happening. So other than that, I see that these shifts are happening because of the young kids we have today, specifically the little guys, like anything under like 12 or 13, like Gen Alpha, is that their name? Like, they are the ones that are like making and pushing all these changes. So like they know what's going on and they're happy with like they know where the world's going to go, and it's going to be a good place by the time they get there. It's really just these like 7 to 10 years. After that time, there truly is this, it's a new earth, you know, it's a new world, it's a big shift, and it's just not fun in the in-between, but you still get to live your life, you know, you still get to do and dream and want the things that you want, and the best thing is to kind of, I don't want to say like not get involved, but like if you see that the information is affecting you and making you nervous and making you anxious, and I just want you to notice how your energy feels when you like tap into some of that stuff versus when maybe you're just like out going for a walk in nature or like playing with friends or kids or whatever. Like, that's the real you, and you're allowed to stay there, you know, unless you're just like, yeah, I want to be in government and I want to like change the way government works. Like, okay, cool. Then that, like, that's your life purpose and you're choosing that. But if you didn't choose that, it's okay to stay within your light and to be excited about like the things that grow during this time, because there's a lot of growth during this time, and like you can be part of that, your family can be part of that. Like, there's just so much for you. So that's what I got for you guys. I was trying to make this a short episode, but I hope this was supportive. I am sending you a ton of love. Thank you for bringing these questions forward. I really just hope that it made sense to you, that it was a little bit of fun and also a little bit of like, okay, like this is the climate that we're working with. There's darkness, but there's so much more light. Well, I love you very much, guys, and I'll see you in the next episode. That's it for today's episode. Thank you so much for listening. I love you guys so much. If you're called to it, please leave me a review, subscribe, and share it with a friend. That is the best way to show your gratitude for this show. And if you want to go deeper with me, check out my app, Clarity. Until next time, much love always.